The following is an encore presentation of Everything Everywhere Daily. Every year around this time, people who live in northern latitude countries turn their clocks ahead 1 hour. Then, months later, we do the exact same thing in reverse, setting all of our clocks back. Why do we do this? And is there a good reason for it? And should we continue to do it? Learn more about the history and future of daylight savings time on this episode of Everything Everywhere Daily. This episode is sponsored by Newspapers.com, your passport to untold stories and hidden histories. As the largest online newspaper archive, Newspapers.com offers an incredible journey through time, with papers dating back to 1690. Imagine exploring the news, events, and everyday moments that shape the history of the world around us. Newspapers.com puts over 900 million pages at your fingertips, offering a front row seat to the past. With papers from the United States, United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, and beyond, Newspapers.com lets you walk the streets of history, whether it's London during the Blitz, New York during Prohibition, or Sydney during the construction of the Harbor Bridge. For listeners of today's episode, Newspapers.com is extending a special offer. Use the code EVERYTHINGEVERYWHERE and enjoy a 20% discount on a subscription. That's EVERYTHINGEVERYWHERE at Newspapers.com. It's the perfect way to unlock the world of history. This episode is sponsored by Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond Bourbon. I recently had the chance to try Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond, and I can attest to its exceptional aromas with hints of caramel and vanilla intertwining with its oakiness, which provide a well-rounded flavor profile. Taking a sip is akin to experiencing a piece of bourbon history firsthand. Heaven Hill Distillery may be America's most quintessential bourbon distillery. Established in 1935 after the end of Prohibition, the distillery was established by the Shapira family and has remained a family-owned distillery to this day. In 1897, Congress passed the Bottled in Bond Act, which set forth strict rules for any bourbon labeled Bottled in Bond. Heaven Hill Bottled in Bond Bourbon goes beyond the stringent requirements of the law by aging its bourbon for 7 years, not four. The end result is a gold medal-winning bourbon that truly stands out. Available nationally, look for a bottle at your local store. Heaven Hill Bottled in Bond. Heaven Hill reminds you, think wisely, drink wisely. I've done episodes in the past on the history of timekeeping and on time zones, both of which brushed against the subject of daylight savings time, but didn't really deal with it directly. For those of you who might live in an area that don't use this practice, it's actually pretty simple. During the warmer months, you advance your clocks ahead by 1 hour to take advantage of the extra daylight in the evenings. When it gets colder and the days are shorter, you move your clocks back 1 hour. If you live somewhere which is close to the equator, there really isn't much need for it because the length of your days doesn't change that much throughout the year. If you live in an extreme northern latitude, it also doesn't matter too much because your days are so extreme. Winter is mostly all dark and summers are mostly all light. Changing the clock doesn't really matter. For people whose day follow the sun, like a farmer, it also doesn't really matter, because if you have to milk the cows at sunrise, it doesn't really matter what time sunrise is. So, why do we do this then? What's the benefit? Many people say that the originator of daylight savings was Benjamin Franklin. This, however, is not quite true. What he did do was lampoon the French and suggested that they wake up earlier so they could save money on candles by not staying up so late at night. There were recorded examples of groups in Spain that would change the time of meetings in the summer to take advantage of daylight, but they weren't changing clocks, they just changed the time when the meetings took place. There really wasn't even a need for adjusting clocks for most of human history because we didn't have accurate clocks to begin with, and very little was dependent on clock time as opposed to sun time. This changed with the development of railroads. You can listen to my previous episode about time zones, but suddenly cities far apart from each other needed to be on the same time, and being punctual became a bigger issue. As the world became electrified and industrialized, energy became an issue. People began using artificial lighting in the evening, and that used power. In the early 20th century, lighting was a large percentage of all the electricity consumed. The idea was hatched that if we were to adjust the clocks in the summer, people could use daylight for another hour in the evening, and that would mean an hour less of artificial lighting. It should be noted here there wasn't any data to support this hypothesis. It was just a good idea. The first person who proposed an actual daylight savings time was New Zealand entomologist George Hudson. And that's entomologist as in someone who studies bugs. He proposed a two-hour plan which would allow him to collect more bugs after work. The first place to ever adopt a daylight savings program were the towns of Port Arthur and Fort William, Ontario in 1908. Today, they are collectively known as the City of Thunder Bay. The first country to formally adopt a daylight savings plan was Germany in 1916. During World War I, they had to conserve resources for the war effort, so they adopted daylight savings in an attempt to do that. Within a year, most of the other countries in Europe, on both sides of the conflict, had adopted daylight savings. In 1918, the United States adopted it for the first time as well. Daylight savings was abandoned in the U.S. as soon as the war ended. It was very unpopular with farmers who didn't have jobs that were dependent upon the clock, but rather the sun. In 1919, a big part of the United States was still rural and worked in agriculture. Daylight savings was brought back to the U.S. in 1942 during World War II. President Roosevelt simply called it wartime. After the war, everything in the U.S. was kind of in chaos because every locality was deciding whether or not to observe daylight savings. In 1966, the federal government stepped in to solve the confusion. They passed the Uniform Time Act, which stipulated that states could do whatever they wanted, but the whole state either had to observe or not observe daylight savings as a unit. The act also set the timing of daylight savings so everyone was on the same page. It would begin on the first Sunday of April and end on the last Sunday of October. Notably, there were a few states which didn't adopt daylight savings. Hawaii never did for pretty obvious reasons. It was close enough to the equator that there was little benefit to adopting it. Arizona and Indiana didn't adopt daylight savings either, although Indiana finally adopted it in 2006, and Arizona is still a holdout. In Canada, Saskatchewan stopped observing daylight savings time in 1961 and still doesn't do it to this day. In 2007, the United States expanded the length of daylight savings by a month, starting 2 weeks earlier and ending 2 weeks later. And that's the schedule we still have today. Today, most countries that use daylight savings are in Europe or North America, with a handful in the Middle East. There are only four countries in the Southern Hemisphere that have adopted daylight savings: New Zealand, Paraguay, Chile, and the southernmost states of Australia. But let's go back to the original intent of daylight savings. It was supposed to conserve energy. Does it actually do that? As I noted before, the idea behind daylight savings was just that. It was an idea. It seemed like it made sense. But there really wasn't any hard data to support the fact that it worked. Well, the data has now started to come in, and the data is not looking too good for daylight savings. One paper analyzed energy consumption in Indiana after they adopted daylight savings. They found energy consumption actually increased by 1%. Artificial lighting may have gone down, but air conditioning usage went up. Other studies have shown a marked increase in suicides, strokes, heart attacks, workplace injuries, car crashes, and emergency room visits when daylight savings starts in March. There's even evidence that judges hand down harsher sentences. Oddly enough, similar effects have not been found when daylight savings ends in October or November. Basically, you have hundreds of millions of people who are all simultaneously suffering from a very mild case of jet lag. So, maybe we should get rid of daylight savings, right? The problem is, there is no consensus as to what we should do. A 2009 survey conducted by the Associated Press and the National Opinion Research Center showed that opinions were really split on what should be done. 40% of the people didn't want daylight savings at all and thought we should just keep standard time year-round. 31% of those surveyed thought we should keep daylight savings all the time, and 28% just wanted to keep the status quo. So basically, anything we do is going to anger most of the people. The funny thing is, the Gallup organization has been polling Americans on this subject since 1943, and there has never been a majority of people who supported daylight savings. The biggest problem with daylight savings seems not to be which time we pick, but the fact that we have to change time every year. In 2020, the Yukon Territory in Canada sprung their clocks ahead 1 hour in March, and then they never turned back. They're now on permanent daylight savings, or they're just in plain old Mountain Standard Time. As of right now, there isn't any plan to do anything about daylight savings one way or another. So it seems that daylight savings time will be one of those things like getting rid of the penny. Everyone agrees something should be done, but nothing probably ever will.
The executive producer of Everything Everywhere Daily is Charles Daniel. The associate producers are Peter Bennett and Cameron Kiefer. I wanted to give a big thanks to everyone who supports the show on Patreon. Your support helps me put out a new show every day. And if you're interested in Everything Everywhere Daily merchandise, Patreon is currently the only place where it's available. And if you'd like to talk to other listeners of the show and get notified of future episodes and projects, please join my Facebook group or Discord server. Links to everything are in the show notes.